Hello and welcome to Project Hearthstone Become Legendary. I'm your host, Franco the Speedy Marufo, and this is Episode 9, Blackrock Mountain Preview. On this week's show, BJ discusses how he intends to fuck up all the good work he's done by reaching Legendary last season with his Pally deck, by trying to hit Legendary this season with everything but his Pally deck. We also have a look at the upcoming Blackrock Mountain release, reviewing each of the cards previewed so far and discussing what kind of decks we might see them in the future. So, enjoy.
Ho ho ho! It's good to see you again! Pull up a chair by the hearth.
Episode 9 of Project Hearthstone Become Legendary. My name is BJ the Brave, and today we're bringing you a slightly tropical theme, as I'm joined by my usual culprit and partner in crime, Mr. Franco the Speedy Marufo. Hello, sir.
Hey, dudes. Are you going to explain why it's tropical to the listeners?
Well, I'm sure when they start hearing all the Thai speech in the background, they'll realise that either we're trying to get closer to the Asian server community, or that you are not recording from Nottingham, England anymore.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I've actually finally arrived in Thailand and managed to find a high enough speed internet connection to actually have a Skype conversation.
we tried what, about 5 times the other day, and we got about 33 seconds into each recording before the message came up saying internet connection is dodgy. Franco is trying to record from the middle of the jungle.
Yeah, it wasn't the quickest, man. It wasn't the quickest. I had to like wander around all day with my phone, my little internet speed test phone thing, and pick up all these Wi-Fi devices, and I'm currently sat in a tourist office of all places because the only thing I could find, and it's free here as well. It's funny, it's free here, you know, but it's the only thing I could find.
So we're that dedicated to Project Hearthstone, listeners. We're bringing it to you all the way from a tourist office. There's free Wi-Fi in Thailand. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm sitting in the sort of midday heat, sweating buckets, in the middle of a tourist office, just sat next to the roads, trying not to move too much, because every time I move, I sweat even more.
So, dude, I thought we'd, at the same time as me catching up, I thought we'd let the listeners catch up. So, how's it going? Obviously, you moved over, was it like last week? And I saw a Facebook message that said you got something like 14 buses, 2 trains, a ferry, and 5 elephant rides or something to get to where you were. So,
yeah, it was a nightmare, dude. It was a nightmare. I flew from Glasgow to London, and then I stayed overnight in London. And then I flew from London to Kiev in Ukraine. For some reason, that was my layover. Kiev, and then I went from Kiev to Bangkok, and then Bangkok to Krabi, and then I got a bus from Krabi to where I'm at just now, Koh Lanta.
Where are you now? What's it called?
It's called Koh Lanta.
Koh Lanta.
It's like a wee island sort of in the south. Mm. The thing is, it's weird because I'm on a street called Backpacker Street. And it's nothing but Germans.
Really?
It's just jam-packed. There's not one Thai person in sight, unless they're wanting a bar. It's just nothing but Germans. It's just jam-packed with Germans.
It's just a massive tourist place, is it?
Yeah, like every single time you go out, it's nothing but tourists. There's not one Thai person in a whole bar. It's just tourists. Brilliant. Dominating the area. Yeah, I know, funny as fuck. So, yeah, I mean, the Germans are the most pissed off, because obviously they're like, we come all the way here, and all we're doing is we're just surrounded by more Germans.
So you'll be speaking German from your visit to Thailand in no time, then?
9. Well, I fuck.
That's
I'm speaking English to everybody. Speaking English to everybody and just, like, pleading ignorance is what I'll be doing. Speaking slow English as best I can so everybody can understand me, and pleading ignorance. Yeah, it's all right, man. First day I arrived, I had to dig a well, which wasn't so pleasant, so I got the fuck out of there quick. But apart from that, it's been all right.
Why wasn't it too pleasant? What do you mean, the actual hotel?
Well, it's the first place I arrived, I'm doing this thing called Workaway, which is like it's like a volunteer thing where you you do some volunteer work like a few hours a day and you get free accommodation. You can do it all around the world. I'll be doing it in New Zealand and I'll be doing it in the States, all that kind of business. And in Thailand, the one I'd signed up to was in a wee sort of beach hut hostel thing. And it was supposed to be like bar work and reception work and things for a few hours a day. And I thought, yeah, that's fine. That's easy enough. I can sit in a bar and like, you know, open bottles for folks for a few hours a day. And when I got here, the guy was like, right, today we're going to dig a well. So in the sort of midday heat in Thailand, like 35 degree heat, I dug a 6 foot pit. I dug a bamboo plant out of its spot, like up by the roots, dug a 6 foot pit straight down and sunk two concrete cylinders into the 6 foot pit and then buried it all again to make this well. And after that, I thought, you know what? It's only £3 a night for accommodation here. It probably isn't worth it.
Jesus, mate, I've got a little saying for you that you could go and use. So what I want you to do is go up to your new German community. Point on your iPad to Half Stone, and you have to say, "Was ist dein Lieblings Schwarz?" Felser Kater. Do you know what that means? Hello?
What is the something black?
What is your favourite black rock mountain card?
Right, good.
They're probably just going to look at it. Mate, I think I even forgot the word mountain in there, to be honest. I think I just said, what is your favourite black rock card? So even German half-stone players in Thailand are going to look at you like an idiot.
Maybe not. I
maybe
not use that as a conversation starter right away.
What do you mean?
I'll probably just stick to English. Probably.
Mate, that's your chat line out there. You can't go wrong.
sure.
I see. I know what's going through your mind there. You're like, well, nothing I've tried so far has worked, so why not?
You know me so well.
Oh mate. So what's the plan now then? How long are you gonna be there for, and how many more episodes of Project Halfstone will be recording from the local tourist office?
Well, I'll be in this location until 18th of April, something like that.
18th.
And then I'm moving to somewhere else, I'm not really sure, somewhere else in Thailand. And I'll be in Thailand until mid May. And I'm in New Zealand, where we shouldn't have an issue with any kind of internet things. And that's like from the 16th of May. Oh, no, sorry. Like the 18th of May onwards, because I stop off at Australia.
Yeah,
so
I've heard enough episodes. Say again?
Maybe like another two or three episodes recorded from this tourist office.
Brilliant. Good stuff. Well, yeah, you should be fine in New Zealand. So what are you actually doing out there now in the days? Because I know like you were supposed to be doing some sort of work experience thing, weren't you? But it's... That's kind of like gone downhill. So are you just literally sitting around in the sun, getting even fatter and even lazier by the day?
Kind of. I lost weight, ironically, because I'm just not eating as much, you know, because I'm a bit more active, just a bit, just enough to not be able to sit on my fat ass and eat constantly.
Nah, I bet you hate it. I bet you can't wait to get back to Nottingham, can you?
Dude, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. It's my secret hell. It's warm. I can't stop myself. I don't have air conditioning in my room. It's my secret hell. And dudes, not to mention the fucking mosquitoes, they love me. I have discovered recently that I am what is known among the human race as a mosquito magnet. Apparently 10% of humans are mosquito magnets, and I am firmly in that 10%.
Oh, we said you were a bit of a pest.
Well, yeah, very funny, man. I was literally just counting... the bites on my, I was counting my bites just before I started talking to you. As I was sitting here in this tourist office, and I've got 49 bites from mosquitoes on my left hand.
Mate, that does sound absolutely horrendous. Are you having to sleep with mosquito nets then and all that sort of?
Aye. And all that happens is I can hear them at night just like buzzing around my head, because obviously the mosquito net it drapes down a wee bit and it can still get near me, so they just sort of bounce off the mosquito net on the other sides, and then if I turn the light on at night, they're all just up against the mosquito net just like watching me.
Oh my
ready
God.
For me to come out.
I don't know how you sleep at night, dude. I honestly don't. I'd be useless at travelling.
I don't sleep much. You would be useless to challenge because there are all sorts of nasty critters running about here. Well, not nasty. I mean, I don't mind them. It's like geckos and stuff like that. But I know you would shit your little panties.
No, I don't mind geckos. They're cute, but mosquitoes. That's literally a horror movie to me. I turn the light on at night. I look at the net and it's just doo doo. It's like millions of mosquitoes.
Just there. Waiting
no,
to
thank
get
you.
Me.
No, thank you.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, some people don't even get bit. Like, you know, I talk to some people and they're like, oh, I've not been bit yet. And I'm like, you fucker, I've been bit 50 times today.
Mate.
You know?
You're the white, hairy, tasty Scotsman, are you?
Well, I don't know what it is. I think it's like something like my blood type or something, you know? But like, I was talking to, I was getting some food the other day from this wee sort of stall. And it's this lady that I see every day. She like makes me a sandwich or whatever, you know? And I was telling her, she went to notice my hands, because my hands are just swollen, you know, because I've been bit so many times on the hands. And she's like, oh, mosquitoes, they are your friends. And I was like, yeah, I guess. She was like, they are bad friends. They are bad friends.
Well, I guess they don't get much of your kind around there, do they? So you're like a speciality.
Yeah, I guess so, man. I guess they're really lapping up it must be like I'm just so potent, you know. That's because it's only females that bite you, and they bite you in order to fertilize their eggs and create their eggs. And it must be I'm just so potent at creating life, you know, that they're just all over me. I think that's what's going on, basically.
Jesus.
That's why me and my chick was always so dangerous with us, you know. It's like Russian roulette every time we have sex, you know. You never know when a real round is going to go off.
Oh, brilliant. So 11 and a half minutes into the podcast, at this point, if anyone's actually still left listening, we are still a Half Stone podcast, so we probably should like switch gear a little bit and talk about some Half Stone. So I guess I was going to ask you, have you actually had a chance to play any Half Stone? Have you managed to get any sort of decent Wi-Fi set up or anything that you've been able to get on since you moved there?
I did try, but it was frustrating because the things it just keeps dropping, you know. Unless I take this trip up to the fucking tourist office and just sit in the tourist office playing Hearthstone, it's not very realistic for me, you know. Like, I spend most of my day either on the beach or in my bunk avoiding the sun, because between the hours of sort of 12 to 4, if I go out under direct sunlight, I will just burst into flame. So I just don't go out at that time. You know, I pretty much just sit in my bunk at that time with a fan directly behind my head, swinging back and forwards. And there's not huge, like brilliant Wi-Fi in any of these locations. You know, I mean, I could go to the beach and maybe find a better Wi-Fi signal, but I'd feel as if it'd be a bit weird if I was on a beach in Thailand surrounded by glorious sunlight and loads of, like, hot chicks and tiny little bikinis, and I'm like, you know, clicking away at Hearthstone trying to get my rank up, you know? So I thought, nah, maybe just leave it until I'm out of a colder climate, you know, maybe when I hit New Zealand.
Cool. Alright, so not much as of yet, but when you get to New Zealand you should be able to pick it up more.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try and pick it up at some point, you know, but no, there's not been much as of yet, you know. But to be honest with you, it's such an effort because it's so warm here and I'm so shit in the heat. Like, this trip was just a bad idea, so many angles, but like one of the things is I'm so shit in the heat, I'm just pathetic whenever it gets too warm, that all I can do is just lie there, you know. And it's actually just too much effort for me to even like open my computer and start playing Hearthstone.
Mate, you're not selling holidays to Thailand at all, are you? I mean, like, you do realise you chose to go there, right? This is meant to be a leisure thing. Sounds like hell.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of hell the first day. At the very least, the first like couple of days, it was kind of hell. But no, it's very enjoyable. You know, I do love it. The nightlife's amazing, and the beach is beautiful, and I get to swim in the Indian Ocean every night. And you know, like, there's loads that's amazing about it. But it's just a complete shift of life from, you know, what I had when I was in Nottingham. You know, that's what it is. You know, it's a complete shift. So, yeah, take a bit of getting used to.
All right, well, I've been following on. Obviously, last month I hit Legendary for the first time with my sort of mid-range Paladin. So what I've done this month typically is I've not touched any mid range paladin. I've just like completely.
Well,
you know, I just got good with a deck. Like, so what I've done is completely abandoned it.
Makes sense. Yeah, it's as soon as you get in your routine, as soon as you get in your rhythm, when what you need to do is get beat once and go right that deck, straight onto another deck. Yeah.
Yeah. So really what it is that, you know, what I'd like to do is so what I was thinking and. You know, obviously, a lot of our listeners they're on that journey really to hit legendary, or some already do, and they're into the competitive side of it. But you know, like what I'd like to do is I'd like to get to the point where I can provide some coaching. And part of the reason is, people who don't know, I mean, that's kind of what I do in my professional life. I'm a trainer/coach, so you know, like I've got the skills for doing that, but I'd obviously love doing it with something that I love, like Hearthstone. So. Part of me is now thinking, well, in order to do that, I need to be able to hit legend with more than just paladin. Do you know what I mean? So, I'm just starting to explore the classes really this season and see if I can get to the same level. So, I started off with I've played quite a lot of warrior, and it was really interesting because I took control warrior and I watched a few Kit Kat's videos. For those who don't know, Kit Kat's one of the really well renowned warrior players. Out there alongside Shirt and who else is renowned for warrior? Well, they're probably the main two at the minute, to be honest. But I was looking at
what does a control warrior look like these days? Is it sort of relatively similar to what it's always looked?
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
Cards coming in.
It is relatively similar. I mean, you've got your archetype control warrior, where usually you have your sort of Alexstrasza, Ragnaros, Grom finish, but. What a lot of people do is they play around BGH. So you can take the same archetype, but you swap them round, and you can have, say, something like Schnedzel Schneider. You could have Ysera and Kel'Thuzad, for example. You could use those three instead. So it usually that's your sort of typical control warrior. But what I did was I started playing around with a few more mid-range cards. Now, it's really weird because since then, who was it who brought in the Frothing Berserker? That I went on this stream and they were playing Frothing Berserker, and I just put one in. Because what I realised was like certain drops were quite weak. So like my 3-4 drops were quite weak. And I'd actually went and put a Frothing Berserker in, and... you know, it started doing really, really well for me. I swapped out things like I had a bomb lobber in there, and then so then what happened was I saw a few people were moving it towards a more sort of slightly more mid-rangey, like just shoring up that sort of mid-game part, that sort of 3-4 drop part of the deck, and that seems to be a bit of a trend that's sort of kicking off in the community now. So. It's kind of like still like a little bit like Control Warrior, the one that I'm playing, where some guys they've moved completely across now. So they're dropping cards like Execute. They're not even playing them now, because what they're wanting to do, a bit similar to what we talked about last month on the Paladin front, is they want to be able to play a minion every turn. Do you see what I mean? So they're trying to play it more like a bit more tempo-y.
That's what I was going to say, and it sounds like is your deck not going a bit more tempo-y as well? Because you're just trying to find relevant drops at different times.
What I've done is I did with mine. I played that deck a little bit, but what I found my most successful deck was I kept with a control theme. But what I did was, so I still have my executes and everything. But what I'd done was I just dropped a few of the sort of like later game stuff to shore up. The early game. So mine's kind of like a halfway house. It still plays really like a control, but it means that, you know, I have got Pilot of Shredder, or I have got Frothing Berserker or a Bomb Lobber that can get me a bit of tempo turn 5. So I'm sort of like halfway between the two, if that makes sense.
Right, so you're sort of trying to have a control deck, but one that also matches well with the other warrior tempo-y decks that are coming out there.
It's a control deck, but it just means I've got a few more minions to play early game. Because the problem with a warrior control is that what it really relies on is sort of stabilizing. You know, if you don't get your weapons early, you can get overrun. Do you know what I mean? And so what my control deck's doing is it's just sort of saying, well, if I don't get my weapons, for example, I've still got some pretty decent early minions that can kind of get me through to that late game stage where I take over the game. So yeah, I've been go on.
How is that working out for you then?
So that was.
If you get to the end of the game, do you typically just win or what?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing pretty well with it. What I liked about that deck was because I played it from rank. I played that one then from rank 17 to rank 9, I think. What I liked about that deck was that it did really well against like Hunter. It did really well against. Did all right against Mech Mage once I'd made those tweaks. In fact, did really well against Mech Mage, and even did all right against things like Druid, which are typically a bad matchup. I think it was more 50-50. So that's one of the things. I mean, I really enjoy decks at the minute that do well against Hunter. That's like it used to be Zoo for me. I always used to think if I find a deck that does well against Zoo, but now it's like if it does well against Hunter, I'm kind of happy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think everybody's got that deck where they just dislike it, don't they? And they just sort of want to get them. And it's not even dislike it, it's just like they just get sort of almost a little depressed playing it because they're just like, oh, fuck, here we go again. And it's nice to find a solution to that answer sometimes, especially when it's a common deck, you know?
So I played that down to rank 9, and then I saw Kalenta. We'll talk a bit about Kalenta because he's been in the news quite a bit this week. He just won... there's just been a really massive tournament called the NetEase China versus Europe Season 2 Grand Finals. So it's China versus Europe. And last time in Season 1, Europe smashed them. They just dominated the field. And this time it was a lot more even. Now, Kalenta, he didn't actually qualify for it. But last minute, he got invited because somebody had pulled out. So he went along, and he ended up winning the whole thing. It was a lot closer. It was Kalenta was in the semi-final versus one of the Chinese players, and we had a Greek guy called Hawkeye who also played against a Chinese guy in the semi-final. Both the Europeans won, and it was Kalenta versus Hawkeye, and it was an amazing series. So for anyone who wants to watch this, I just go and watch this final. Just go onto YouTube. There's a guy who makes Hearthstone videos called Gamergraphy. Someone I follow. It's GamerGraphy. Gamergraphy. Good guy to subscribe to because he got all these Hearthstone VODs and stuff. And just type in China versus Europe season 2 or Hawkeye versus Kalenta and watch this series. And dude, like. Hawkeye goes 2-0 up, so it's best of 5, yeah. So he just goes 2-0 up, and remember, it's using the new format, the new conquest format, where when you win a game, so, your deck,
it changes deck every time he wins. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that's right. So his final deck is Face Hunter. So he's 2-0 up, and the only one he's got to win with now is Face Hunter. And so bear in mind that means Kalenta now has got to win 3 games with each of his different decks. Against Face Hunter. So the commentators are just like, this is over. You know, like, just go on ladder with Face Hunter and try to lose 3 random games in a row. Good luck. You know what I mean? Like, they were just taking the mix. Oh, man. And dude, Kalenta does it. He wins every game. So he's got, like, a priest deck, a druid deck. And what's his third one? Was it? Rogue deck, and he wins. And I think he's like unfavorable in at least 2 of those matches, if not all 3, against Face Hunter. And he won all 3, and I could not believe it. And dude, like, literally, it was one of those where it gets down to the last game, and he looks like he's gonna lose, and he literally top decks the card he needs. So it's this massive drama. So it's a really good one. So go watch that, Hawkeye versus Kalenta. But anyway, I'd been watching Kalento's stream, and he has created this priest deck. Now, I've been threatening to try and learn priest for some time. So as I'd been playing like control style with warrior, I thought, well, I'll have a go with priest because, you know, it's a control style deck, and I've always preferred the control style priest over the tempo priest. So I've given this deck a go. Now, he's come up with a really, really interesting deck, and it's a very, very tricksy deck. It's not your sort of it's not your typical ones that you see from some of the priest players like Zetalot or even the one that Amaz did well with at the was that the Root Invitational or the Kinguin 3 that he used. But I've been basically playing. I've tried playing a few different versions, but I've been mainly playing this Control Priest from Kalento. So really quickly, and all anyone has to do is go on Hearthstone Top Decks and just type in Kalento. It says Kalento Season 12 Control Priest, and you'll see it. And what he's got is he's got two Circle of Healings, two Light of Anaru, two Norsha Clerics, two Power Word Shields, two Shrinkmeister, two Shadow Word Death, two Thought Steals, two Soul Priests, two Shadow Madness. That's interesting. Two of them. One Holy Nova, two Shadow Priests, one Recombobulator, two Wild Pyromancers, two Blade Masters, Harrison Jones, two Sludge Belchers, and Sylvanas. Excuse me. Now, I changed one of the Light of Anaru, and I put in the Ancient Antique Heal Bot. Because
yeah,
I
obviously, because just to improve the deck, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Typical, I've got to go and make a change. But what I found was that there were certain matchups that... Because obviously I'm still getting used to the deck. Kalento's doing amazing with it, but I'm still getting used to it. And there was just a few games where I was getting down to... I was thinking, oh God, if I could have just healed there, I think I'd have stabilised and won this game. So I decided, well, I'll take out one of the Light of Anaru, which is kind of like a potentially a heal card, and I'll put that in. Dude, this deck is so much fun. It's one of the most fun decks I've used in Hearthstone, for sure. Just absolutely brilliant. There's so...
Why is that then?
Well, it's just so many combos, dude. So many. It's complete combo. And it's so hard for your opponent to play around. You just sit... If you get the cards... So what you do with this deck is you basically start off by just thinking about card draw. So all I'm doing early game is I just want to draw as many possible cards as I can. Now, how do I draw cards? Well, obviously, Norsha Cleric and Power Word Shield, and then just like anything that dares to attack that, you can heal and gain cards back. That's an obvious one. But there's a lot of tricks where with a Wild Pyromancer, you play a spell, it injures everybody. You then put Norsha Cleric down on the board and Circle of Healing, and you heal, you know, like two of your cards, two of his cards. That's four cards you draw, you know, so you draw loads. You've got two Thought Steals in there where you steal two of your opponent's cards, which is such a fun card and such a great pragmatic card as well. You know, I've stolen Dr. Boom, I've stolen all sorts of weapons and great stuff that you don't normally have access to through that. And even things like playing your injured Blade Masters late game and then Holy Nova in with a Norsha Cleric down, that's another way of drawing loads of cards. There's so many ways of drawing cards with this deck. So once you've drawn your cards, what you basically got is a shed load of options. And again, with this deck, what you're trying to do is really get to... If you can get to... I always feel if I can get to turn six and I'm in a decent position, then I feel like, okay, I'm favourite for this game every time. So some of the tricks that you're pulling off, obviously you've got Shadow Madness in there. So you can Shadow Madness anything with a strength 3 or less. So you can Shadow Madness the card and then Recombobulate the card, which transforms it into a... So say you Recombobulate... Say you Shadow Madness a Sludge Belcher, right? Pulls the Sludge Belcher across. You can attack with it, and then you can Recombobulate the Sludge Belcher, which turns it into another 5-drop. But because you've changed the card, it doesn't then go back at the end of the turn.
I'm very clever.
Yeah, so that's a really cool combo. And another one is that you can Shadow Madness. You can use, like, so it's got two Shrinkmeisters. So that means that I can knock anything down to strength. So now I can, instead of Shadow Madness in something that's strength 3, I can potentially Shadow Madness something that's strength 5. Because I can Shrinkmeister it down, steal it, and then change it. So, for example, you're playing against Warrior. He plays, what's that 6-drop? Shield Maiden? The one that ups
your armor.
Shield.
Is it 5 armor? Yeah.
That's the one, yeah. So what I can do is I can knock that down to strength 3. I can steal it. I can Recombobulate it, and I now get a 6-drop. That could be Sylvanas, do you know what I mean? There's loads of really great 6-drops. It could be a Pilot Sky Golem. Do you know what I mean?
Or
you can just attack with it. Obviously, Shadow Madness is great because you just attack something and you kill off both cards, so you've essentially killed two of your opponent's cards.
Well, what I've seen in the past is that people would Shadow Madness, and they'd get like a Sludge Belcher and then attack the Sludge Belcher, and it's something that kills the Sludge Belcher, giving them the slime, which allows them to keep the slime, because obviously that's
the one, yeah. That's the one. So that's a brilliant tactic. And it's exactly the same with the piloted cards as well, frankly. So, like, say you steal a pilot, it's death rattles, you get to keep. Another great one is against Hunter. Obviously, the Hunters are playing freezing traps. So what you can do is Shadow Madness, the Sludge Belcher, attack with the Sludge Belcher. Oh, I've triggered freezing trap. Now I put the Sludge Belcher back into my hand. That's a lovely one. But then let's talk about Shrinkmeister, because Shrinkmeister is another big part of the combos here. That knocks things down by two, so you can do things like knock something down to strength two, and you can steal it then with your Cabal Shadow Priest. That's a great turn eight play. So I can steal Azure Drakes, I can steal Gadgets and Auctioneers, I can
steal Yezra.
You can steal your Sarah, yeah. Stealing your Sarah is absolutely just, oh my god, it's just gold dust. And what else? So then you've got obviously your Wild Pyromancer as well. So you've got so many spells. By playing two Light of Naru's, you can. So the Pyromancer is good for dealing with things like Muster for Battle and Implosions and all those little shitty 1/1 cards that come out, and you just Pyromancer them off. Also good for removing Divine Shields off of what's that annoying Annoyatron and stuff like that. What's that annoying card called? Oh yeah, Annoyatron.
Yeah.
So Pyromancer's just essential in this deck. You've got your Sylvanas. You can play Sylvanas. I mean, say you play Ysera, I could play Sylvanas, and then I can Shadow Word Death my own Sylvanas, which kills it, and then steal, because it kills a 5 minion or higher, and that kills Sylvanas, and then I obviously steal Ysera. So that's another combo. And another great combo lies around Soul Priest. So obviously we know that Soul Priest plus Circle of Healing is essentially a flame strike, right? It does 4 damage to everything. I've done things like I Shadow Madness your Zombie Chow, and then I play Soul Priest, and then I play Circle of Healing. So now I do a flame strike, and I do 5 damage to your face with the Zombie Chow. That's a good one. And then the other one that is really good in this deck is obviously you're running two Light of Naru's. Now Light of Naru combos really well with Soul Priest, because again, Soul Priest, instead of healing 3, Light of Naru essentially becomes, for 1 mana, it becomes deal 3 damage to anything of your choice, and summon a Light Warden. For 1 mana, that's pretty exceptional, really, when you think about it. So that's another combo. So again, all in all, I just think this deck is just super, super fun. The main down, and I climbed from rank 9 to rank 4 with this deck. And then I got a bit, because then it got into what we talked about last month, which is all about minor mistakes. And because I'm not there yet, and obviously I will lose games where I'll make minor mistakes. It's such a more complex deck to play, because of course it's not like the Paladin deck where you're just playing on tempo all the time. You can make a play, but there's probably about 6 other plays you could have made, because there's just so many combos, And then also you think, well, what if I just waited 1 turn? Like, say I play the Shrinkmeister. I think, well, what if I'd waited 1 turn? What could I still draw? And then how does that then change all my combos that are available to me? So it's just got infinite possibilities, this deck. And the only downside is just when you don't draw it all. So when you draw stuff in the wrong order, or, that's why I'm saying card draw is so important. When you watch Kalenta play this deck, he just, all he does in the first 3 turns is just do stuff that's going to get his card draw up. So he always has like 9 cards by turn 4 or 5, he's just got a full hand. Once this deck's got a full hand, he can just mess with anybody, literally. But if it's only got 2 or 3 cards and you're struggling, you're having to top deck stuff, that's where it can become a bit of a problem. So yeah. But that's the deck that got me to rank 4, and that's kind of where I'm at. I went back up to rank 6 and then back down to 5, and so I'm kind of I'm ranked around 5, I think, and I've also just made a switch. I'm going to play a little bit, try and introduce a little bit of Face Hunter. Just because, again, it's not a deck I've ever played, and I'm not really good with aggro. And also, I've played so much control that I've just kind of, like when you play loads of one thing, you just think, oh my god, these games are so long, I just want to play some aggro. I just want some quick games.
Yeah, well, that's the advantage, yeah. Playing those aggro decks, at the very least, if you're going to lose, you lose quick.
Yeah. Dude, another deck I wanted to bring up. Have you seen Savija's Hobgoblin Paladin deck?
That rings a bell now, actually, because I remember playing something Hobgoblin-y Paladin-y. But yeah, go on.
So I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but just go online, listeners, and look up Savija's Hob. He's basically, he created this Hobgoblin deck, and he has evolved it a little bit. He's been playing it on his stream quite consistently now for about 4 days. He just made it as a mess around deck. Just thought, I want to play some fun. And he just started like winning all the time with it. And then he's like, oh, okay, this is actually not that bad. Dude, it's got two wisps in it. Do you know what I mean? It's a deck with two wisps in it. It's just... And dude, it's a lot of fun because obviously it can put down loads of... It's got lots and lots of like one drop minions. So it can put loads down really quick and swarm the board. So by turn four, you can pretty much always take control of the board early. It plays two Jeeves, which is another card you really like. So it plays two Jeeves and it plays two Divine Favors. So it's got really good mechanism for card draw. And then he, obviously, what he's looking to do is then also play a Hobgoblin with another 2 to 3 cards if possible. So Wisps are 0 mana and they're a 1/1, so they can play the same, you know, alongside it. And obviously Hobgoblin takes all the 1 attack minions and gives them plus 2/2. So like Annoyatron becomes a 3/4 with Taunt and Divine Shield, you know?
Yeah, it's very good. I remember playing a mage deck, in fact, that was... It was sort of, it had a sort of triple synergy between mech, magic buffs, you know, like Arcane Drake and things, and Hobgoblin, you know, so it was a lot of like one attack drops to help out with the Hobgoblin stuff, a lot of mech stuff in spare parts that complement each other, and then a lot of spells and things to complement all the magic buffs, and it was quite good. It's quite a good deck. It's quite a good sort of mid-range kind of deck.
Yeah, it's it can be super powerful. Again, it's one of them decks where if it draws stuff in the wrong order, it can be a problem. But one of the latest amendments he's made is he's actually just put in King Muckler. And King Muckler has really good synergy in this deck because it gives... usually you've got board control, and that's where King Muckler's really good anyway, is when you can play him onto an empty board, because then they've got nothing to put the bananas on to sort of hit back. And so you get this massive tempo swing. So Muckler's good in this kind of deck anyway, but what it does is obviously it puts two cards in your opponent's hand. So imagine that you're going to play Jeeves. You play Jeeves, you draw the three cards, but he can't draw the three cards now because he's got two extra banana cards in his hand. So it works really well with Jeeves, and it works even better with Divine Favor, right? Because, again, Divine Favor draws cards based on how many cards your opponent's got. So it's like a mill card in the sense that it fills your opponent's hand with these shitty banana cards, and you then get to play Divine Shield and draw two extra cards because of it. So
yeah, it's good. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool synergy. So check that out, Savija's Hobgoblin Paladin deck. It's a really fun deck. I haven't played it for long. I just had a go with it, and I did all right with it, and it's definitely a deck I'd like to play more with. The other thing I've been doing this season as well, before we get on to talk about the real big news in Hearthstone, Blackrock Mountain... is I've been playing a lot on my American account. I've got the highest. I went up to rank 15 on my US account now. So I'm actually...
That's you're not putting any money into that as well, right?
It's a free to play, and I'm just really slowly, starting to build my card collection now because I play a lot of Arena on there. Usually I only do my dailies or get to like rank 20, and then I just don't play a ladder. Just get my card back and that's it. Whereas this season I managed to sort of get to rank 15 quite easily, and it's just quite fun. It's quite fun taking like concept like Ramp Druid, but really using things like the tree, you know, the big tree man guy, and I'm using cards like what's the card with the 7/7 with Divine Shield?
Oh, the tank thing.
Yeah, the tank. Because like that's the big card I've got. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just like,
right, that is the big card. So you're like, yeah, so powerful. 7/7.
So you just use them. I mean, obviously you wouldn't be using them in where I'm sort of pushing for Legend on EU. I wouldn't be using them. It's just BGH, Goldust, that stuff, sort of stuff. But it's quite interesting. Some of the decks that I've made. I've made my Druid ramp deck up in there, and it's got quite a lot of beast synergy. You know, when you did the beast thing. And that like, playing like that Druid of the Fang. I'm actually playing loads of cards. So my way of playing around BGH, one way of playing around it, I think, is to play loads of cards that have 7 attack. So, yeah, okay, if he's got BGH, he BGHs 1. But then you've just got another 6 cards you're going to put down and you just overwhelm him. And I think that's actually quite a good way of playing around him.
Yeah. Mm. True that, yeah. You can even taunt out by going, well, this is the 7-7 that I'm most happy to lose. You know, and then you put that down first and then you're like, but this is the 7-7 is going to kill you.
Well, that's where Druid of the Fang is really good, right? Because in the Druid cards, Druid of the Fang, what, is 5 mana? And you basically get a 7-7 if you play it alongside a beast. So for 5 mana, you're like, well, if you want a BGH my 5 mana card, that's great when I've got like these 6 cards that are coming later that are, you know, are all sort of way better. So that deck is... It's really weird when you do it. I kind of think, I wonder what would happen if I played this on my EU account. Because it just catches people out and they get overwhelmed by it, you know. And I think I might, just for an experiment, I might actually try and test it on my EU, just make the exact same deck and just see what it does at like that, those higher ranks.
But what are the chances of you like being able to make up the exact same deck and going, but actually, I'll just tweak this wee thing here because that's obviously better.
Yeah. I'll just take that out for Rago. I'll just take that out for Harrison Jones. Yeah,
that's so you won't be having any 7-7 Divine Shield tanks in that deck.
I'm thinking about maybe buying the Naxxramas adventure because I was thinking about free-to-play accounts. This is where the adventures are quite clever because if you've got a free-to-play account, you can still theoretically get all the cards. Right, because you know you can play Arena, and then you get all the GVG cards, and then from doing all your dailies and getting the gold, you can buy classic packs. So potentially you still got access. So theoretically you can get all the cards from play to play, but the one from free to play. But the ones you can't get are the ones from the adventures. So you could never get Sludge Belcher unless you buy Naxxramas.
Oh, aye, that's interesting. Yeah, some of those cards are some of the best cards in the game, obviously.
Exactly. So that's why I'm starting to think. One card I wanted to just talk about real briefly is as we're talking about Naxxramas is the one card this season that I have just. It's like I finally learnt to play him, and I'm just loving him, absolutely loving him to death. And that is Kel'Thuzad. So I played Kel'Thuzad in my Warrior deck, and I also played him in I played a bit of Ramp Druid actually as well, around ranks. I think it was rank 9-7 or something like that. I played a bit of Ramp Druid, but what I really liked was I think I've just for some reason never really understood the value of Kel'Thuzad, and he's won me so many games now, dude. Like he is.
It's interesting, dude. Yeah, it's interesting. Cause, I mean, I remember I used him quite a lot when he first came out, and thinking he was just the mutt's nuts.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm the same as well. Like, you know, he wins so many games just on his own. As soon as you've got like a decent board, like maybe 3 minions, and you put Kel'Thuzad down behind at least just 1 taunt, you know, especially if that taunt's Sludge Belt, oh god, like it's very difficult for your opponent to deal with that. Very, very difficult. You know, he just needs straight removal. You know, like Shadow Word Death or something. You know.
But I think that's where I was getting frustrated with him before, because obviously, if you put him up behind a you know a couple of taunts, then it's just game over. He's just won you the game. But I think why I wasn't valuing him before was obviously that's quite situational, right? It's quite situational to land that exact combo, and then when you don't land it, I was like, oh, this guy's rubbish. It's just not working for me. Whereas I've changed my perception on the card, and the way I looked at it is I compared it with is it Cenarius? The Druid legend?
Aye.
So you think about Cenarius, right? So for nine mana, you get this 5/8, but he also summons 2 more 2/2s along. So if you think of it as he's the legendary, but he summons these two cards, which are both 2/2 with taunt, right? For 9 mana. So the way I looked at it is I thought, well, Kel'Thuzad is 8 mana, and he's a 6/8, so he's actually 1 less than Cenarius, and he's slightly better in terms of his stats, right? But actually, if I say I kill 2 minions, so like I've got 2 minions on board, Knife Juggler and a Piloted Shredder, for example, and I attack, trade, and they both die, and then I play Kel'Thuzad, I'm like, well, actually, Kel'Thuzad now is a 6/8 that summoned a 4/3 with a Death Rattle and summoned a 3/2. So already that's just way better value, right, than what Cenarius is. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's the way I started to look at it. And as soon as I started to switch my thinking to that, I got value out of him every single game, and I don't know why it was just... I don't know why I was stuck on it in my head, but for some reason this season it just clicked, and oh my God, he is just being... He's just phenomenal. So I'm definitely going to experiment with
him. What he's good at is he's a massive tempo swing cards, you know, because like his board can be relatively full, your board can be relatively full, and as soon as you put Kael'thas Ad down, you throw all your minions into all his minions die, all your minions don't die, and you're just like, right, it's happening.
Yeah, and the amount of times people just concede as well, like that, you know, you play Kael'thas Ad, you get such value, and then they look at it and go, have I got a way of removing him? Nope. I'm just going to concede. They just know this is just done.
Yep, that's it. If you don't have a way to move them, then that's all you can do. You know, and quite often, even if you do have a way to move them, on the turn that he gets played, the impact that he has on the tempo can still be enough to be like, well, I can remove him, but I've still got fucking four minions sitting there, and those guys are going to kill me anyway. So, and even if it's going to take two turns, I'm like, well, concede.
Yeah, it's oh man, it's just so good. It's just so good. So Kael'thas Ad, loving it. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit, because there's been obviously some really big news since we last podcasted, and that is the release of the second adventure mode. We had Curse of Nuxramas, and we've now got Black Rock Mountain. So what do you know as a World of Warcraft player previously? What do you know about Black Rock Mountain? What can you tell us about it?
It was one of the dungeons in World of Warcraft. So there was like lower Blackrock Mountain and upper Blackrock. And the lower Blackrock was sort of the low level adventure-y stuff. And the upper Blackrock was like the super high level instant shit with like all the dragons and all the badass thingy bosses and things. And it was one of the first like sort of really high level adventures that you could do in World of Warcraft that you had to do with a group, you know, you'd do it with like, you'd be like a group of like 25 people that you'd have to stomp through this place. And I remember like going at it just over and over again, trying to kill these dragons in Upper Blackrock that were just hellish to kill, you know, absolute hellish. It was just 20 minutes of just torture trying to get through these things. But it's cool, you know, it's a cool place to go and visit.
Okay, cool. So we've had a whole bunch of cards. Apparently there's going to be...
Hello.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I think I had it on mute. Okay, so cool. So we've had a whole bunch of cards already announced. It's going to be each wing is going to be 700 gold or 699 for dollars for US, and for England, Britain, it's going to be £4.99 pounds. But I mean, I'm just going to buy the whole wing. So you can buy the whole set. I think it cost me about 14 quid or something like that. £17.50 I think it was for the whole thing. But it's going to be released. Remember with Nax, they released it sort of like one wing every week. It's going to be the same as that.
And Nax was really good, obviously, you know. So like, I'm expecting big things for this, just on the back of how good Nax was.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to play. Not much replayability, it's the only downside, but I mean, it's good fun, it's a different kind of game, you've got a kind of challenge to work out the puzzle, haven't you, like, how do I beat this boss, and then you have to create a different deck pretty much to beat the next boss, but I thought we could delve in and have a look at the cards that have been announced, and just sort of get some initial thoughts, really, on what we think to them.
Yeah, sounds good, that's cool.
So we've got a whole bunch of neutral cards, and we've got some race-specific cards. I've actually just had, literally yesterday, I think we've had two more announced, so we'll cover those as well. Okay, so let's have a look then. So in the neutral cards, first of all, we've got the Blackwing Technician. First thing that strikes me about this card is it looks like a goblin. It's got a... It's cost 3 mana to play. It's a 2/4, and the battle cry reads: "If you're holding a dragon, gain +1/+1."
Yeah, and I think that's a common theme for a lot of these cards, where they're sort of doing things if you're holding stuff in your hands, which is relatively new. I mean, we've got like 4 dragon, who had that before, but that's a relatively new sort of plane, you know, concept.
I quite like it as a concept as well, because like say something's ability is it does something else if there's a mech on board, like Tinker Town Technician. Well, you've got to get that synergy, right? You've got to have the mech, and you've got to have it on board. Whereas if you've got combos in your deck that you build where you've got stuff that relies on things being on the board, but also things being in your hand, in a way you're reducing the random element, right? Because if now my deck, say it's part dragon, part mech, I'm like, well, the chances of me either having a mech on the board or either having a dragon in my hand are pretty high, right? So it's the chance of having one of those two things is higher than only relying on one of them. So there's some interesting synergies there. What do you think to the stats, though? Because that would mean, so what that mean? For three mana, you'd have a 3/5. So that would be the only 3/5 in the game, wouldn't it, for three mana?
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, I mean, it's got quite a lot of health, doesn't it? For a 3-drop, that's quite a lot of health. Wondering why that is.
Well, 3/4s was the big thing, wasn't it? Like the spider that we got, the mechanical spider thing from GVG, and the dark cultist for priest that we got from Naxxramas. 3/4 was the that was like, oh, the average. We're looking for 3/3 from a 3-drop, and now we're getting 3/4s. That's awesome. Whereas this potentially could be a 3/5. The only downside is how many dragons have we actually got? How many cards are actually classified as dragon in the game? It's not many, is it?
Well, I think we're going to see some more dragons in the Blackrock cards. Is what I imagine, surely. You know, because I think they're going to be sort of dragon themes, as Blackrock Moon is pretty dragon themed in itself. You know, in the World of Warcraft game.
Right, sure, but we're getting 31 new cards, and we've already got, so we've got 4, 7, 11, we've got 14 revealed, so almost 50% revealed, and of the 50% revealed, only 3 of them are dragons? 2 or 3? So it's, they're still not going to be like, now they might do the thing like Harvest Golem, where they reclassified it as a mech, so they might change things like Azadrake and make that a dragon, or there might be some reclassifications that go on from the cards we currently have. But the downside I see with this card is I just don't know there's going to be enough dragons. But then again, in the future, as they release more cards that are dragons, this card would only get better and better, right?
Yeah, that's it. I'd need to see the rest of the cards, you know, because it might be there's like 4 dragons and then the other sort of half of the cards that we've not seen.
Yeah, of course.
If there is, now you've got 6. So 6 dragons is quite good, actually, in addition to the dragons you've already got that you can play. So it might be that it sort of works out, you know. We just need to see what the other half say. Mm. I mean, obviously, we know what kind of impact even just like 1 or 2 cards can make to a game, never mind another 14 or whatever.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Either way, I mean, even a 2/4 for 3 mana is not terrible. It's not terrible. There's probably a few decks out there like that we've mentioned that may, you know, they you might think 3 drops are not prevalent. They might consider it, but overall, I think I can only really see this one being played in a dragon themed deck.
Yeah, it'd have to hit that synergy or in order to get value. Yeah.
So then we got the Grim Patron. The Grim Patron looks like looks a bit like you, Franco, to be honest. An angry bearded Scottish dwarf.
Cheers, mate. Thanks. Yeah, handsome.
He's got less mosquito bites in his hand there that he's holding his big axe with.
He says, more hair.
Yeah, more hair. He's got he's a 5 mana card. So 5 mana are quite popular at the minute. It's quite a lot of competition there. His stats are 3/3, which is massively underwhelming for a 5-drop. But his ability reads, whenever this minion survives damage, summon another Grim Patron.
And that's huge if you can combo it with something that does damage to him, or even ups his health and does damage to him. That's because if you get 3 Grim Patrons, then that 5-drop is super duper value right there.
So 3 patrons. So you could play a patron. You could do something like Whirlwind, right? Like if you were a warrior, then you could Whirlwind for 1. That would create another patron. But so your original patron would be a 3/2. Then you'd have another 3/3. Is that even? And then you'd have to. Then you'd have to.
And then the last one would be you'd have a 3/1, a 3/2, and a 3/3. If you manage to hurt the. In fact, wait a minute. But obviously, if you did like Whirlwind and then another Whirlwind, you get 4.
Two
Grim Patrons. Now you got some value because like say you've got like the Frostbiter axe and you got Whirlwinds, so you put Grim Patron, and you hit Whirlwinds, which creates another Grim Patron. You hit with your axe, which hits another Whirlwinds, which creates another two Grim Patrons. So now you get four Grim Patrons, one's on a 3-1, one's on a 3-2, and two on a 3-3s.
The only thing is you've used three cards to do that. You know, so it's cost you three cards to get the four cards that are on the board, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but in one turn, it's only cost you six mana.
Yeah, seven, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's all right. The other one I was thinking of is that you could Whirlwind, so you've got two, right? And then the second one that comes out, who's still a 3-3, you hit him with a Cruel Taskmaster, which knocks him down to two, but it puts his strength up by two. So he becomes a 5-2. So now you've got a 3-2, a 5-2, and a 3-3. And the 2-2, obviously, from the Taskmaster. So it's certainly not a bad way of getting board presence. Because it's something Warrior struggles with, right? Like Warrior in particular struggles with, you know, there's no muster for battle in Warrior. So that could be a good combo for just getting some board presence. But still, I mean, overall, don't know. What do you think? Do you think this is a card we're going to see in many decks for five mana?
I think you could work around it, and I think you could make some scary stuff out of it. I think, yeah, I think so, because it's not like summon another card that's 3-3. It's summon another Grim Patron. It just means that every time you do AoE damage, you're doing it on all the Grim Patrons that are already in play. You could see like a board full of Grim Patrons very, very quickly. You know, and especially like, if you do it and the other guys get no real solution to it after a turn, and then you do it, and then a second turn you do something like one other thing, yeah, then you easily have just seven Grim Patrons just on the fields. You know, and I think you can get some people that will make it work, certainly.
I'd really like to have seen this card be four mana. I think five mana is a little bit steep for me, but we'll see. We'll see what people play. It's worth saying as well, because this is the first time we've really reviewed cards or looked at cards as a podcast. That just for listeners, anyone who's listening, going, "Oh my god, what are you talking about?" Like we tend to be quite positive on this podcast when we're reviewing stuff. So we're not saying, "Oh yeah, this is definitely going to be the be all card, and Kalento's going to be using it in the next World Championship." You know, we're not going that far. We're just saying, we're just looking at it at this stage because we've only just got the cards and we're just thinking, hey, how could you use it? Like, what could we do with it?
Yeah, just seeing how it's applicable, really.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about our first dragon card then. Cool artwork on this one. We got the Hungry Dragon. He is a 4-mana card. He's a 5-6, which is pretty awesome stats for a 4-mana card. And his battle cry reads, summon a random one-cost minion for your opponent. What are your thoughts on the Hungry Dragon, dude?
It could be annoying if you summon an Annoyatron.
No, Annoyatron's 2-mana.
Oh, of course he is, yeah. Yeah, that's quite good, I think. You know, like, for a 4-drop, you know, there's not many 1-drops in the game that are going to hurt you bad if your opponent gets them. So I think that's reasonably okay.
So it could be the worst ones. I was thinking is it could summon Flame Imp. That would be a bit unfortunate. Yeah. It could summon Zombie Chow, which in a way could work for you, right? By turn four, if you summon a Zombie Chow, that could work for you, unless you played against the tempo deck, maybe not. But it could also summon annoying cards like is it Blood Imp? The one that's stealth and it kind of gives plus one health to all the other opponent, things like that. And,
that's fine,
Or worst case would be against Priest and it summons the
Norsha Cleric.
Norsha Cleric would be that's another big one. I didn't think of that. But I was thinking of the Light Warden. Because obviously Priest has an ability to heal every turn. So you summon the Light Warden. Then his turn five, he plays Sludge Belcher, so you can't attack his Light Warden, and then anything that he heals, that thing's just getting bigger and bigger. But overall, I could see this one being played, dude, because like we just said, Sludge Belcher, I mean, if you play Hungry Dragon turn four, he then plays Sludge Belcher turn five, well, he can't really play Sludge Belcher turn five because he's going to die, right? He's going to die. This is a 5-6 minion.
It's not even going to trade favourably. Like, he'll die and you'll still have three health left on your Hungry Dragon.
Yeah. So I'm liking this card. I mean, what decks do you think would see this in? I mean, is there any sort of heroes you think this would work better with? I think for Priest, this works well with the 6 health. I mean, imagine sticking turn 5, you play Hungry Dragon, Power Word Shield on this guy. You know, so he's now a 5-8.
Yeah, that's nasty. I think Ram Druids, you might see him in Ram Druids, you know, because they very quickly get that guy out.
Mm. He's like a better Yeti, isn't he, in that sense?
Yeah, that's it, you know, and it's fair enough you're giving your opponent, like, that extra one-cost minion that he have at the beginning, but if it's only, like, turn two or something, your opponent will just have no solutions to this guy on turn two, you know?
Oh, my God, yeah, with the Innovate, yeah. Yeah, so you're right, yeah, so Druid could do really well with this guy. He's also a dragon, so obviously he's going to synergize with things like Blackwing Technician and any other dragon synergy. And the other thing as well about him is that, like, this is more of a downside to him, I guess, is that if you're playing against a tempo deck, then it's not as good, right? Because you're trying to fight for the board, and you play this guy, and it gives your opponent a card. So that, in that sense, it's not as good. You know what I mean? Like, if he's, like, say you're playing Mech Mage. Mech Mage have already got three minions on the board, four minions on the board at this point, turn four. And if you then give him another card that's hidden behind a Noyotron, it could work against you. It's a bit like a mirror entity in that sense, you know?
I think if you're playing against a deck that already sort of relies upon doing a rush on you, you know, and getting like loads of little low cost minions out, and then buffing those guys up with like a Meccano guy, you know, the Meccano guy that gives everybody some kind of ability, and that can be pretty horrible, yeah.
What about Hunter as well? So you could play this guy, because one thing about Hunter is I think their turn four is one of their weaknesses. They don't really have many good turn four drops. Obviously, Pilot of Shredder is the one thing that's sewn that up a bit for him. But what you could do here is you could play it, because it's kind of got a bit of synergy with, what do you call it? Release the Hounds? No, Unleash the Hounds.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does, but I think it's got a synergy with Explosive Trap, because that even if you summon a one-cost minion, that one-cost minion will probably die to Explosive Trap.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's got two synergies there, then, really.
Yeah, not bad, man. Not bad cards.
Quite like that one, actually. That's probably my favourite so far, I think. So then we got the Blackwing Corruptor. Blackwing Corruptor is, again, a five drop. It's got 5/4 for its stats, so alright-ish. If you're holding a dragon, deal 3 damage. This is the one of the new 2 cards that's literally just been released yesterday. Now, the battle cry for me is what absolutely makes this card. What do you reckon?
That can be quite powerful, as long as you've always got a dragon in your hand, but we just need to see how many dragons get released into the game, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is to me, this is kind of like the, what's the mage card that's really good? The one that shoots all the fireworks out.
Unstable Portal.
No. The 4 drop.
The Blast Mage.
Blast Mage. So this is like the dragon variant of the Blast Mage, I think. So
yeah, but it's directed, and so it's 3 damage.
Exactly.
4 damage.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's more like the Defias guy in the Rogue deck, really. Except it does a bit more damage.
What, the SI agent?
SI agent, even, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 5/4 is really good, right? It's like Harrison Jones stats. We prefer 4/5 than a 5/4, but, you know, it's not bad as long as it's got some good tech. And I think dealing 3 damage. Because what's the dwarf called that you get in the classic set? You know, because he's a 5 drop, isn't he? And he deals 2 damage. Do you know the dwarf?
Yeah, he's like a sniper or something.
Yeah. So this guy's like leagues ahead of him, right? You know. For 5 mana, just leagues ahead of him. Better stats and does 3 damage.
Yeah, can synergize very well with all the dragons in your deck, definitely.
Okay, so the next one is a legendary. The legendary card, and it is Rend Blackhand. He's a 7 mana cost. He's competing with like Dr. Boom, I guess, at the minute, and in most decks. And he's at 8/4. This is stats, which is a bit weird, but it reads, if you're holding a dragon, destroy a legendary minion. What are your thoughts on Rend?
He seems a bit situational, to be honest, and he's quite low health. Now, it might be that we're just going to see a bunch of legendaries getting released, and legendaries becoming more common. He's like a late-game swing. If you play for it against like control decks and things, do you know are going to use legendaries on you? But it's a wee bit situational. You know, it can make a difference against specific decks. You know, be very good against specific decks, I think.
Yeah, I agree. If there's certain legendaries that is constantly causing you a problem, then this guy might be an option. But I'm a bit underwhelmed by him, to be honest. I think as a legendary card, I would have liked to have seen something a bit better. And I think he's
just a bit more health, like even an 8/6 maybe.
Yeah, it seems like a fun card. It seems like a card where, like, you know, your opponent plays your Sarah, going, you can't big game hunter me, or you can't, you know, you've used your equality consecrate, and you're like, aha, here's Ren Blackhand, you know, dead. You know, it's like a fun card to catch your opponent out with, but
yeah,
I can't see it being used in competitive circles at all.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so next we've got a one mana card called Dragon Egg. This is a rare card, and its stats are 0/2 for one mana. And it says, whenever this minion takes damage, summon a 2/1 whelp.
Yeah, I like this one. I think this is very useful, you know, especially if you combo with like put on health and then doing damage, or even just doing damage immediately. But even just something simple as using it with a mage, you know, and it's just a nice wee one drop that you can throw out there, and then, you know, for the next couple of turns you only have a 2/1 on the board.
Yeah, so you play it turn one. So you're gonna
and just fire blast them again, done.
It's true, but each of those 2/1 whelps then are essentially costing you 2 mana, right? Because each time you fire blast, it costs you 2 mana. So you're paying 2 mana for a 2/1, which you would never do, right? You'd rather just play a knife juggler for 2 mana. Do you see what I mean? So
yeah, but it would give you options if you don't want to load up your hands with 1 drops. You know, because you're playing for more of a mid-range or late game, it allows you to still do something in the early stages without, you know, putting too many cards in your hands in order to do it, you know? Because otherwise you would just be sitting there doing fuck all anyway, so you may as well have something to do.
Is this a card that synergizes with things like Shaman Deck? So you can play it like turn one, and then you can play things like a Flame Strike, Flame Tongue Totem. So you buff this up, so now it's doing 2 damage on turn 2. So it can clear something, but then as well as dying itself, it then produces a 2/1 whelp, so it keeps tempo. Does that make sense?
Yeah, or any kind of Zoo deck, you know, that normally buffs
Zoo,
up the Nerubian eggs. Same kind of deal.
Defender of Argus would be... Playing this at the same turn with a Defender of Argus isn't bad, is it? Because then it becomes a 1/3.
Yep. You get 3/2/1s out of it if you can play it properly, yeah.
Yeah. What else? I guess Priest as well, again, with things like Power Word Shields, so you can put it up to sort of 4 health, trying to do stuff like that, but... I don't know. I'm not sure. Do you think it'll see much play in? Do you think this will be? I mean, what are the one drops we see at the minute? We see Zombie Chow. Obviously, Mech Mage plays a couple of one drops that are mechs. I don't really see this replacing them. Leper Gnomes, maybe Clockwork Gnomes. Do you think you'll see this getting put into decks? Was it more of a themed one?
Well, no. I think it'll have to be for a specific kind of deck. Like I say, if it was for a mage deck, it would be a mage deck that's based on control, where you're not even really going to be playing many cards in the first few turns anyway. But at least this allows you to sort of do removal and play something in the first few turns without it just being Fire Blast. You know, because, I mean, if all you want to do in like turn 2 and turn 3 was Fire Blasting something on the table, then you might as well be Fire Blasting this and getting a 2/1 out of it, you know?
Okay, right. Well, we got one more to look at from the neutral cards, and that is a 4/4 mana card, and it's the Dragonkin Sorcerer. This is an expert card, the little white gem, and it is whenever you target. Sorry, it's a 4 mana card. It's a 3/5, so same as like Senjin, right? Senjin stats. It's pretty good for 4 mana, and
yeah,
its ability.
Without taunt. Yeah.
Yeah, without taunt, but it does get, instead, it gets whenever you target this minion with a spell, gain 1/1.
Yeah, which is obviously combos very well with, like, Light of the Narrow.
Whenever you target this minion with a spell, gain 1/1. Haven't we got a card that does this? What was the GVG card that did something like this?
Doesn't ring a bell.
It's a 4 mana, 3/5. Stone Skin something. It's the one that the Trogzor summons. Because every time you cast a spell, it goes up plus 2/2. So what's the advantage of this? Because it only goes up 1/1.
I'm not sure what one you're talking about and what drop it is and things.
Well, the one I'm talking about, I think it's called the Trogzor... what's the name of it? It's a 4 mana... four mana card. I tell you what, I've got them all here. Let me just be precise of it. Right, here we go. It's a neutral card. Right, the one I'm talking about was the Burly Rockjaw Trog. It's a four mana card, 3/5, so exactly the same stats as the one we're talking about now. And the ability reads: whenever your opponent casts a spell, gain +2 attack. +2 attack.
And it's also not as controllable as if, you know, like, I mean, that relies on your opponent now casting spells, but if your opponent's not really going to cast any spells, then you can get around that or just remove them.
Right.
But this is specific for you, so you can combo it. You know, so this is more of a combo. The other one's more of a defense, and this one is more of a combo. You know, you can combo with other cards and give them even more bonuses, you know.
So for me, then, I'm looking at this one and I'm thinking Priest again. This seems like a super Priest card, because if I play the Dragon King Sorcerer on turn 5, I can play this guy and Power Word Shield. So I target it with a spell that gives it +2 health, so that's 3/7. But then its ability triggers, which is +1/+1. It becomes a 4/8 on turn 5. That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, and also I think it's good for a mech mage, because you can just throw loads of spare parts on him.
Oh my god, spare parts. We haven't even been thinking about spare parts. Yeah, that is insane for spare parts.
Yeah, as long as you've got a few in your hands, like, you can bring him out on turn 6, you know, and bring him in as like a 5/7 turn 6.
It's pretty cool for spare parts.
And all that shit.
Well, it's pretty cool for spare parts, because I'm just thinking, like, a lot of them are things like +1 strength and +1 health. So, like, if you're already getting... So, say he gives you +1 health. You play that on this guy, and he gets another +1/+1, so he's, like, 4/7
four,
now.
Six, yeah.
And then stealth's a good one, right? Because he gives +1/+1, and you can't attack him back, so that means I'll get to attack the next turn with it. I quite like that card. What do you think?
Yeah, he's quite good, man. There'll be some decent combos that come out of him. Yeah, definitely.
I think he'd work quite well in a rogue deck as well, because... wait a minute. The spell has to target him, right? Whenever you target this man.
Yeah, but you can like, cold blood him and things.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I guess what I'm thinking is, like, why would you run this guy over a Pilot Shredder? Well, you'd run it where... You're putting it in a... So Pilot Shred is great in a deck that has, like, lots of other minions, right? Like, where you're building tempo and you want really good value cards. Whereas this guy, you'd play him in a deck that has lots of spells, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's maybe more of a... Maybe he's more of a controller thing, you think? You know, because, like, he's something you can put down, like, one thing you can put down that's going to create a bit of space between you and your opponent that he has to deal with it. You buff up without putting an awful lot of minions down and things to do so.
What about, like, you know, some of the warrior spells, like Charge? You know, like, they've got, like, Charge and Upgrade.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You can play him onto the board, play Charge on him, so he gets the buff from Charge, because that gives him +1/+1, is it? And then he gets the buff from this, and he can attack that turn. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot of uses for this guy. And he's a dragon again. Yay.
Oh, yeah, he is a dragon, yeah. Yeah, so that again, some dragon synergy. All right, let's have a quick look at there's a few class cards that are out so far. So far we've got a Hunter card, which is the Core Rager. It's a 4-mana card. It's 4/4 for stats. And it says, if your hand is empty, gain +3/+3. So that'd make it a 7/7 for 4. What do you think to this?
That is kind of situational again. So that's as for a rush deck, I guess, yeah. You're looking to empty your hand pretty much every turn. Mm-hmm. And by turn 4/5, your hand is empty. So, I mean, I guess it would work in that kind of deck, then, yeah.
Like Zoo?
It is. Yeah, like Zoo, or even just like Face Hunter or whatever, you know, anything that just throws... Even just like a rushy mech magey deck, you know, anything that throws cards out really, really quickly. You can see yourself running out of card by sort of 5, turn 5, turn 6, and being able to play this guy.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you're getting some background noise now. What about Flame Walker, then? He is a mage card. We've just been talking about Zoo. I just realised that was a class-specific card. It's a Hunter card. Core Rager was a Hunter card.
And that was all he said.
I'm not sure in Hunter.
Hello?
Hello, mate. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, you just went, oh, and that was it.
Sorry, I had mute on. Okay, so what I've just realised, we've just been going on about Core Rager. as a in Zoo, but it's a hunter card, right? So we're absolute hunters.
Of course it is. Yeah. Because as these are specific class cards. Okay, so yeah, in a hunter deck, then maybe Zoo works. Maybe.
Not convinced. Let's have a look at the mage card then. We got the Flame Waker. It's a 3-mana card. Not sure what mages are playing in the 3-drops at the minute. But anyway, it says after you cast a spell. Sorry, it's a 2/4. And it says after you cast a spell, deal 2 damage randomly split among all enemies. What are your thoughts on this one, dude?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it? 2 damage randomly split, you know, for 3 mana. I don't know, man. It's not much damage. It's randomly split.
It's like a knife juggler type one, thing, isn't it? It's
almost. Yeah, I guess. It's a 3 drop. You know, it's a knife, but not juggling 3 drop. And it only does its thing once. Yeah, maybe he's. I don't know. Maybe he's.
Quite like it if you already had this card down and then you played, say, like Flame Strike. Like the next turn, so you play a Flame Strike, and the guy's got like say 3 minions on board that you know will die to Flame Strike, but then he's got like a Death Rattle, like a slime that'll come out, or he's got 2 minions that had 5 health, so they'll be down to 1 health, and then this guy throws those extra 2 damage and finishes them off. That's kind of one way I thought you could use it, but it's a bit situational.
I mean, 10 mana. I mean, for familiar you're at the 10 mana stage at this point. You're putting in Flame Strike and then in Flame Waker.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking that you'd already had this guy on the board from the turn before. I mean, he's not bad at trading, really. I mean, a 2/4, you know, you think Keeper of Secret, Keeper of the Grove from Druids, a 2/4, and he's a 4-mana card. You know, this guy's a 2/4 for 3-mana. He's 4 health's pretty respectful for 3-mana.
I suppose, man. And again, you could use him with like spare parts again, couldn't you? And do loads of damage with him. Yeah. I mean, if you put him down on turn 6 and throw 3 spare parts onto him, you know, that's. That's a lot of damage now. That's 6 damage that he's arriving with, which is pretty decent, actually.
So we're going to see Flame Waker, what's the guy called? Gazler. Yeah, Gazler and Spare Part Synergy Mage. That's going to be the new mage. Speaking of mage, we've got the other new card that got released yesterday, and that's Dragon's Breath. This is a 5-mana spell, and the spell reads, deal 4 damage, but it costs 1 less for each minion that died this turn. I can't decide what I think about this one, dude, because I'm like, okay, I can see how this is like becomes a Soulfire, right? I can see how, you know, let's say you Blizzard the board or Flamestrike the board and you're playing against Paladin and he had all his Mustafa Battle shitty minions down. You kill like 7 minions or you kill 5 minions and now this costs 0 mana and it deals 4 damage. But again, it just feels quite situational. I think more likely you're going to kill 2 minions in a turn, which is, you know, you trading with one of his at best. And then that means it's a sort of deal 4 damage for 3 mana.
I think the thing is, man, you've got Flame Cannon in there, which is, fair enough is a random thing, but like, Chris, if you've just lost, you know, if you've just lost 4 minions, surely the other guys will only get 1 minion left. I mean, for fuck's sake, you know, at least give yourself that. And then you just, we'll throw down the Flame Cannon then, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't see the use of it really, man. It's a bit much. For 5 mana, fuck me, man. Like, for 4 mana, you get a Fireball.
Yeah, I mean, if this was a rogue card, it'd be amazing in oil rogue, I think, because you know when you do like that, you build up your weapon and you do like the blade attack blade flurry thing, and so your blade flurry, you clear the board, so loads of minions die, and then you can then do an additional 4 damage to face. So it just means that your finish in reach would be amazing, but again, it's a mage card. I'm just not sure. Just not sure it really fits. I'm sure it really fits with anything.
No, it's just very, very situational, that card. Very situational, man.
Alright, so then we've got a Warlock card next, which is it's called the Imp Gang Boss. It's a 3-mana card, and it's a 2/4 again, so quite a few of these 2/4s coming in at 3-mana. This is a demon card, and it says, whenever this minion takes damage, summon a 1/1 imp.
Especially it's only in a Warlock deck. I suppose it's a bit right in Zoo, because you can buff it up with like Defender of Argus and things, you know?
Well, you've got that other guy, haven't you? The standard card that was the Imp Master, which is like also a 3-mana card, and it's a 1/5, and at the end of every turn, it summons a 1/1 Imp. So I'm just trying to think. Well, this guy's got one better attack, and it is when he takes damage, so you could probably summon him a bit quicker. So I think it probably is better than the Imp Master.
Unless you get more of control over when the imps show up, you know, and like I say, you can just defend the Vargas him up to make people go into him to give you the imp, you know.
The other thing is, of course, he's a demon, right? So that means that potentially in a demon lock deck, you could get this guy for free. Like if Voidcaller summons him onto the board for free, at that point he's obviously awesome value, but then so is a whole range of other demons. I don't know. I think he's all right. I don't think it's a game changing card, but I don't think it's a bad card. I think this one will see a better play.
Yeah, it's all right, man. You know, certainly he's compatible with that Master. He's compatible with that, and he has a demon card as well. So.
Okay, so three more to go. So next one also looks a little bit like you. It's an angry looking dwarf. It's got red eyes. Didn't get much sleep because he's been up all night getting bitten by mosquitoes. And he is the Dark Iron Skulker. This is another five drop, but this is the rogue card, dude. It's a 4/3, so slightly underwhelming stats for a 5-mana card. And its battle cry reads, deal 2 damage to all undamaged enemy minions. So essentially, consecrate.
Yeah, it turns up with a bit of a consecrate, yeah.
What do you think to this card?
It might be okay, actually. You know, I mean, it's going to really like put the brakes on rush decks. If you're going up against a rush deck with rogue, because if you can get to turn 5, then you're almost certainly going to either wipe them out or more or less wipe them out and kill the momentum. But then again, so it's like a sludge bill show.
I personally think that this is a super powerful card. If this was a neutral card, it would be in every single deck. Because it's Consecrate. It's Consecrate, right? So imagine Consecrate, but we said, right, if you could pay one extra mana for Consecrate, you get a 4/3 minion. I mean, who wouldn't take that, right? So, but the only thing is, it's a rogue-specific card. To me, it makes me think, well, it's a very good card. I think it'll get played. A little bit slow for some of the rogue, because a lot of rogue decks, five mana is quite a lot. They like to play like several cards in one go. But I still think it's really good, dude. I think it's a brilliant card. I mean, it just makes that matchup against Paladin has just got even better now, hasn't it, for the rogue? It's like Mustafa Battle just dies. It just completely messes Mustafa Battle.
That's it. You know, against those sort of decks that rely on a lot of low-cost minions, it certainly is very good, yeah.
Good against Zoo for the rogue. It should really help out there. Yeah, I like this card, dude. I think this is one of the better cards. I think it's definitely going to see some play.
All right.
Next up, dude, this is causing some waves. This is causing some shocks throughout the community. This is the Shaman card. It's 2 mana. It's a spell. And it's called Lava Shock. For 2 mana, it says, deal 2 damage and unlock your overloaded mana crystals.
Bullshit. Come on.
Dude.
Fucking hell. As if they weren't good enough already. Come on.
Dude, this is game-changing for Shaman. This is massive. This puts Shaman right back on the map, I think. This is the card that a lot of people are getting excited about, dude. So the thing to think about with this card, right, is that say you're playing Shaman, right? So let's say you played, say last turn then, you played Doomhammer, right? So you're now overloaded by 2. So now in your next turn, you're overloaded by, it comes back to your turn, and you're now overloaded by 2. But this turn, you need to play Lightning Storm because your opponent's board's, you know, getting big and you need to clear his board. So now you play Lightning Storm. So that means that you are overloaded 2 from last turn, you're now added another 2 overloaded, which would make you overloaded for next turn. And that's kind of where Shaman overload thing just falls down. You pretty much lose the game, right? Now, all that's gone. Because now what I'm doing is I can play play my Lightning Storm, play this card, and I unlock both my last the restriction from last turn and this turn. So suddenly it's like I just suddenly gained two from the one from last turn that was overloaded. It's just a super super powerful card. It basically means I get to play those overloaded cards kind of for free if I've got this in hand. And
yeah, and they're already very powerful because they're overloaded.
Of course, the whole purpose of being overloaded is that they're more powerful, that they're not balanced, they're more powerful than they should be for their mana cost, and that's why you suffer the penalty. But now this one just says, no penalty. So this just really gives Shaman their tempo back. You know, that really brings them back into competitive play. Personally, I can see this in any deck whatsoever that Shaman take with Overload. I think this will be in absolutely every single deck. Obviously, there are Shaman builds at the minute that avoid the Overload mechanic, so you wouldn't play this card. But anyone that does engage with the Overload mechanic, we're going to see a lot of those Overload cards coming back. We'll see Unbound Elemental, which was always a good card in Overload decks. That'll be in decks. So we should be seeing some quite a lot of variety in Shaman decks coming back.
Yeah, it's definitely good news for Shaman players. 100%,
definitely.
All right. In every Shaman deck as soon as it comes out.
I think so, yeah. We're going to see Overload everywhere, yeah. So let's have a look at the last card that we have to hand at the minute. We can review the rest of them in the next episode, but right now this is all we've got, and this is the Warrior card. So it's a 4-mana card, and it is the Axe Flinger. It is a 2/5 for 4-mana. And it reads, whenever this minion takes damage, deal 2 damage to the enemy hero. What do you think to this one?
For Warrior as well, yeah, because you've got like a lot of like Whirlwind and your Frostbiter Axe and all that kind of business. I mean, it's not bad, actually.
There's one specific combo that makes this insane. And I mean absolutely insane. But it is specific. And that is, what was the GVG Warrior card now? Oh, yeah, Bouncing Blade. So if you remember Bouncing Blade, yeah? It says deal 1 damage to a random minion, repeat until the minion dies. So, of course, if you play Axe Flinger onto a board, onto an empty board, and then you play your Bouncing Blade, it means it deals 1 damage to this card every time until Axe Flinger dies. So essentially,
so 10 damage into the heroes. It's like a Pyroblast.
So it's cost you 7 mana for a Pyroblast, yeah. Yeah, so that's a specific, it's very, very specific, obviously. But it's not beyond the realms of impossibility, because obviously that's what Warrior do. Warrior do, Control Warrior clears the board well. So it's not that it's not possible. Outside of that combo, whenever this minion takes damage, deal 2 damage to the enemy hero. Could work well in an aggro warrior deck, maybe, where you're just trying to rush the opponent down with weapons and leponomes and charge minions, and then this guy comes out, and then the opponent's got to deal with him, and at the same time he's dealing an extra 2 damage every time you do deal with him. I think that's how we'll see him use more. Is kind of bringing back a little bit of aggro option for warrior.
Yeah, maybe he's sort of a kind of facey warrior kind of build.
Yeah, which is quite cool, really, because I think that's, if you think about warrior, it's just all we ever see is control warrior, really, isn't it? Let's be honest.
So giving
warrior some different options back would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's a decent card, man. I mean, it's no Lava Shock, but yeah, it's a good card.
It's no Lava Shock, no. So that's it. So that's 4, 7. So that's 14 cards from the 31 that we've had. Almost half of them. First impressions overall, Black Rock Mountain?
Yeah, not bad, man. I think it will. You'll see a few of these cards make their way into decks. You know, the biggest game changer, obviously, is still Lava Shock, but we never know. We never know what the rest of the cards are going to do and what impact they're going to have. I think there's every chance that it could be another sort of GVG type release that's going to have a real shake on the game. Maybe not the same as Naxx, because Naxx was huge, remember. You know, obviously, Star Cards from Naxx are still kicking around in pretty much every deck right now.
Oh, man. We were talking about that the other day, weren't we? It's like Zombie Chow, Haunted Creeper, Mad Scientist, Sludge Belcher, Lotheb, Kel'Thuzad.
It's just essential with the game now, you know.
Yeah.
But it's certainly, there's every chance it'll be up there with GVG, which in itself made its own, you know, decent impact, so...
Yeah. Interesting comment from Ben Broad as well, the main designers at Hearthstone, and he said that apparently for this, each class will have one common and one rare card. So where Naxx only got one class card, this one, each class is actually going to get two cards, and one will be rare and one will be common.
Right, that's interesting. Mm. So see what comes after that then.
So I quite like that. I quite like that as a change, because getting to the one I'm really looking forward to is Priest. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Priest cards are. I'm also looking forward to seeing Paladin. We haven't seen any Paladin cards yet. Seeing what they'll bring. But I like the fact that they're giving us two class specific cards instead of just one.
Yeah. I think everybody's interested in the class specific cards more than anything else. You know, everybody's got like their own wee kind of favourite class that they want to see getting made well. So
yeah,
it's nice that they're sort of concentrating on that a little bit more.
That's it. All right, buddy. Well, I think that's it for us for today. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we'll either have some interviews. Hoping to get some interviews lined up. I've just been super busy with work, and I'm finding it a bit difficult to manage both. But if not, we will hopefully have Blackrock Mountain out, so we should be able to do some more reviews and first impressions of actually using these cards rather than just talking about them. So that's it for today. What have you got? What have you got on now? You're going off to the beach to get bitten by some more mosquitoes, or?
Well, I mean, mosquitoes, the beach is the only place where they don't hang out, so there's every chance I will be doing that. But I mean, it's 10-6, to be honest with you, so I'll maybe just go to the gym and avoid the twilight where the mosquitoes are there.
Oh,
in the air-conditioned gym, and then run to my hut when the sun goes down.
Mate, I tell you what, it has been a very good move for you, hasn't it, going to Thailand? And it's making you go to the gym, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know, crazy. It's because it's the best air-conditioning I can find.
When that's the least painful option, you know you're onto a winner. All right, dude, well, best of luck with that, and sleep well. For those of you who are enjoying the podcast, again, I've had some really good feedback and some good comments, and thank you for that. I'm glad you're enjoying it. You can follow us on Twitter at PHBL podcast, and that's where I'm sort of putting updates on every day. So I think Twitter's a really, really good place to follow us. We have got a Facebook page as well. Let's get some update from time to time, and really helpful if you can send things our way, because as I said, Franco's sort of traveling around the world over the next few months. And I'm quite busy as well with work and stuff. So if anyone puts things like in front of our nose and says, oh, have you seen this piece of Hearthstone news? Have you seen this awesome video or this awesome deck list? Or maybe you even know someone who might want to be interviewed, legend players out there that want to be interviewed and come on the podcast. Just put them in front of our nose. Just contact us on Twitter, contact us on Facebook, let us know. And then you make our lives easy. And that is always a good thing. So anything else to add, Franco?
Just that, you know, the episodes might go out a little bit later than they usually, like maybe like a day or two late while I'm traveling around, you know. I'll still be editing them and things as normal, but it's as much as anything else, it's the upload speed here. Like I might as well be posting the episodes via like snail mail.
This will probably be going out on a Thursday, I guess, will it, or something?
Yeah,
this
something
week,
like that.
Yeah,
that's it. Because the thing is as well, like, either my computer's plugged in or my fan's on. And to be honest with you, if I'm in my hut, my fan's on, there's no fucking way my computer's plugged in.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Okie dokie, well, thanks for joining us today all the way from Thailand, and thanks for listening, everyone. Only one thing left to say. Auf Wiedersehen.
Good tie there, mate, good tie. Good night, folks.
Cheers.
Whoa, legendary!
Okay, folks, that's this week's show. If you've got any thoughts on the upcoming Blackrock Mountain releases and what nasty combos might turn up, please feel free to let us know on our Facebook page, Project Hearthstone Become Legendary. Tweet us about it at PHBL Podcast, or just shout shit about it in the street. Links to all the useful stuff in the show notes are as usual, and now I'm off to get sunburnt, so I'll see you soon.
Thank you.
now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friends, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Now get to the chopper!